Aw, man. Look at them over there. They're so cool. Those Eagle youths. Aw, and their color-coordinated outfits. Aw, but they'll never even take a look at a guy like me. Please, notice me, Sentai! We're talking about Himitsu Sentai Go Ranger! Hello, everybody, and welcome back to your new favorite show, The More You Nerd. And this month, and the next month, and maybe some weeks in between, we are talking about Super Sentai. Yes, we've done it for the Tokusatsu Ultraman shows. We've done it for Kamen Rider. But now we're getting to the nitty-gritty of Super Sentai, and we're starting with the very first one, 1975's Himitsu Sentai Go Ranger. My name is Drew, and I need the always eating Yellow Ranger to my chef that's also the boss of everything. Miles, how are you?
I'm doing great. I am so excited that we are finally doing Sentai. Honestly, I get jazzed. Like, it's so funny. Whenever we do Tokusatsu, I get so excited, despite the fact that, like, these challenges can be daunting when you're trying to balance your work life stuff, because you can't multitask while watching subtitles. And so, yeah, like, it does make it a little bit of a headache sometimes to, like, sit down for. But
not to mention that some of this stuff is just hard to find. It's just difficult.
Well, there's
to find
that too. I don't know if Go Ranger's on DVD in the States. The manga is officially released in the States. It's on my Amazon wish list. Nice. But I love Tokusatsu shows. I think they're so fun. I mean, obviously, that starts with me being obsessed with Power Rangers as a kid. But even beyond that, why, just watching any of this source material or any of the Toku shows that we've watched, or like Toei's like YouTube channel was just like randomly putting out shows, especially through the pandemic, and I got to see stuff like that I had never seen before, like Jan Person, which is basically RoboCop, at least visually. But there's a lot of cool stuff, and I think what's so cool is like they were doing live action, basically superhero shows, and doing them on a scale that no one else was doing in the States. Like, yes, we had a couple Batman shows happen. We had a Spider-Man show happen. So did they, but like nothing on the scale. A lot of the stuff that we would see was like common, like even some of the Superman cartoons from back in the day was just gangsters and stuff like that. Here you're watching a comic book live, basically. And I love that so much. And even when it doesn't work, they go into it anyway. And I respect that moxie so much. And I think nothing is more present than watching these first seasons of any of these, whether it's the 60s Ultraman, 70s Kamen Rider, or the 70s Go Ranger. Like, you can tell they don't got a lot of money.
You can definitely tell in this show that they don't have a lot of money.
But you know what? They make it work. So let's start with some stuff that's familiar, because if you are following along with us, we have posted the source in our Discord, as we said, so you can watch along with us through these challenges while we do them. Most people are at least familiar with the concept of Power Rangers, where you have a team of people who are battling against an antagonist, usually an agency or empire or just a crew of bad guys. And these people usually have a certain set of skills, and that usually pertains to their morphed form. And they are color coordinated. They are definitely not doing as much of the, oh, this Blue Ranger has to wear blue all the time. as they did in America.
Again, I do wonder. Well, they do that in a lot of the Super Sentai shows as well.
They do. I'm saying in Go Ranger specifically. Like,
Go Ranger doesn't do it at all.
No, the Red Ranger is like in white all the time.
The Yellow Ranger wears blue all the time. The Blue Ranger wears a brown cowboy hat.
And the Green Ranger dresses Spike Spiegel. Yeah.
Now, I do.
Like, there's legit. I wonder if that was the inspiration, because one outfit he had was legit Spike Spiegel.
It's interesting to talk about this show as sort of the precursor to things. In fact, it's so much of a precursor that the term Super Sentai, even though the word Sentai is in this show title, Super Sentai as a phrase didn't happen until several years later in 1981. So for a while, this, despite the fact that it definitely was the start of the Super Sentai stuff, it was not considered a Super Sentai show by
folks. Yeah, this was apparently a hot button issue in the 80s and the 90s, really until about 2000 when Time Ranger came out and kind of the entire franchise was officially dubbed Super Sentai. And Go Ranger and Jack Q were officially like they are the beginning, which I think, I don't know if I ever knew that it wasn't included until like looking into this stuff.
I definitely didn't. Yeah,
because I mean, I knew a little bit of it because of my Power Rangers love, but Go Ranger, I mean, like I said, this is not something that's been easy to find, especially if you were looking for this stuff in the 90s. It's only been the last like 10 years that we've been getting official releases of the Sentai stuff. But seeing kind of the humble beginnings of what would eventually become like a global phenomenon is really cool, because it's one of those things where you just kind of feel like they started off with a hope and a dream, and it went from there. Because I mean, so many things that we know as, you know, that were standards, that become standards in Super Sentai, that were already established in Power Rangers. Like, yes, they have vehicles. They're not really that special, but they have them.
And not all of them even have vehicles. Some of them are just riding inside cars.
Yeah. In this first outing, there is no Zord of any kind. There's not really. They do have a jet kind of thing, but they don't have an actual giant robot.
Yes.
Which is, you know, probably for the best.
They also don't have. They kind of have a transformation sequence, but they don't have a transformation sequence. When they want to transform into their Go Ranger costumes, they yell go, they raise their arms in the air, and they jump. And as they jump, they just suddenly they have their stuff on.
Sometimes they just kind of like twitch and they just morph. Like, the calling sequence is a little iffy. What I love about this, despite the fact that we watched 5 episodes, we haven't gotten to know a lot of the characters super, super well. This one is surprisingly, there's a monster of the week, but we are following a sequential story for the most part.
Yeah.
I do love that you have a character who is not really, I thought this was interesting. You have a character that loves to eat, but typically in these shows, they leave it for the bigger guy, and the Yellow Ranger's not really a big guy.
Well, he's stockier than the others.
He's stocky, but he ain't like, you know, your hunks. Well,
I think the idea is that he's like a judo master. So he's like this guy that's really good at fighting. So he's like burly, and therefore he also eats a lot. But well, let's break down what the background of this the actual story.
Yeah, this is a wild opening. You're like, this is a kid show?
Yeah. So there is an organization called the Black Cross Army. What the Black Cross Army is, at least in the first 5 episodes, they do not say. What they do, what we do know, however, is that they want to destroy humanity. They all,
which means,
however,
I assume they're not human,
but a lot of them look human, so it's really tough to tell.
Well, that's not that means nothing at the time.
And so you've got these guys wearing masks, and I'm trying to remember all of them that we get at the first. There's Gold Mask. There's
Jade Mask.
There's War Mask.
There's Poison Gas Mask.
Gold Mask, Warrior Mask, Bronze Mask, Jade Mask, and probably my favorite, Poison Gas Mask.
Yeah. The one who looks like he belongs to the Zeon.
Well, he's wearing this like, you know, Victorian military coat, but he's also got like this World War One gas mask look, except he's got a little snout at the front like those gas masks do, but it bobbles around every time he moves. It's very funny.
He looks like one of the snorks.
Yeah, a little bit. But you've also got a group called Eagle, which I only know because by the Wikipedia and not based on anything else is Eagle is the Earth Guard League. And they have different branches all over Japan and presumably the Earth, but we only ever see the Japanese ones. And the opening of this show is five of these masked guys from the Black Cross Army decimating and destroying these branches, but leaving behind a single survivor in every case. And those single survivors come together at some point off screen, they never really get into it, to become the Go Rangers and to fight back against the Black Cross Army.
Yeah, I kind of love that this has kind of your 80s cartoon logic. Like you see the origins of why these people are together, and then you skip the whole how they become Rangers to them being Rangers.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with it. I just go with it.
It seems like the only reason they became Rangers is because they were the last five Eagle members left.
Well,
but then two episodes later, there's more Eagle guys. And it's like, where is all this coming from?
Yeah. And we don't really know if like they don't. And a lot of shows don't really tell you exactly what it means to be a ranger here, because you know we're told, at least in I think the Power Rangers stuff and in certain series, like when you morph you're stronger, you like we can clearly see they can, you know, do certain things they couldn't when they were you know unmorphed, but yeah. We don't really get any sort of what being a ranger means, you know. That said, I love, it's kind of like looking at Golden Age DC costumes in a sense. Like this is the Japanese version of that in a way, because like you look at the classic Green Lantern and Flash and, you know, those kind of costumes. This feels like the Sentai version of that, because these are some weird costumes.
They are weird costumes. So to describe the costumes, they are reminiscent of what you would see if you thought about Power Rangers in the 1970s. They're baggier. They're not really spandexy. They're baggy.
Yeah, there's a bulkiness to these Rangers. Like the idea that you have the Power Rangers are these kind of lithe. It's a very like millennial kind of sleek kind of visage. Whereas here they're stockier. The material almost looks like denim or something.
I don't think it's that thick, but
it's not that thick, but some of it feels that thick, but there's just a more of a, I don't know, salt of the earth feel to them.
Yeah. So they've got that. Now they've also got lines in V's down their chests. And of course, red has one and blue has two and yellow has three and pink, known as Momo in this, which actually translates to peach, not to pink. She has four, and then green has five. And that's sort of their rank within the organization, I guess, if you wanted to call it that. And then their helmets. Oh, their poor, poor helmets. I mean,
again, it's the 70s. They didn't have money to get like, and I mean, honestly, the helmets are, you take and leave it for at least another several years.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I take them. Like there are some wild stuff that some we might cover that I do really like, but I'm also like, I absolutely understand why some people are like, I dislike this heavily.
Yeah, because they've got these big bulbous eye visors. And The idea behind them, though, is that each of their eye visors is basically a weapon that they can draw. So Red has a whip that he call. I should have written down what he calls the whip. It's Red something.
I can't remember either.
Blue has a bow and arrow, which in the first episode, every time he shoots an arrow, he yells archery, which I thought was hilarious.
I love it.
And then the next time it came around, it was the subtitles had it translated as blue cherry. Blue cherry, blue cherry, blue cherry. But it occurs to me that it's probably just because he's blue. Blue cherry, like archery, but with blue at the beginning of it.
Yes.
Yellow, we don't see his weapon, but he can draw a bow staff.
Yeah, the whip is called the Red Voot.
Which, whatever that means, I don't know.
I don't know if that's just what it's officially called. I think our translation had something a little different.
I think it did. The Pink Ranger. We got to talk about the Pink Ranger here. Not only is her visor bright red instead of black, because she's a girl, she also has earrings hanging off of the side of her helmet. And the first time she pulled a weapon, it was the Momo mirror, which...
Yeah.
I thought, oh, so she's got a mirror because she's a girl, but then she uses it to blind the enemies, and that was kind of funny. And then
that, and like we were told her jewelry are weapons as well.
Every time she pulls off an earring, she has a quip, and then she throws it, and it explodes like a grenade, which is pretty nice.
Honestly, I love her. Her name is Peggy, which was a shock to me.
So apparently, this is a thing that was a thing for a while in Sentai shows, is that the Pink Ranger, of course, the Pink Ranger, quote unquote, always female, that has changed in recent years. But their name is typically written in katakana, and it's also right. it was like, you know, because in Japan they do the family name and then the given name. I'm going to call it backwards. I'm not saying, you know what I mean. It's just reversed to what we do here in the West, except her name is first name, last name. And I don't really know why that is. Never really stated. I don't know. But yes, let's get back to the Green Ranger, who is the young buck of the series. He has a V on his mask that he pulls out, the Meteorang. It's a boomerang. The kid's got a boomerang.
It's great.
I love it. And so, yeah, they basically, we spend our first five episodes kind of just going after, these dudes that kind of killed all their people.
That seems to be, you know, it's so funny because I think our last episode is them kind of taking out the last of the original like masks that we had seen. And I'm actually very curious as to where it goes next. But it's a long journey because this is the longest Super Sentai show at 84 episodes, ran for like 2 years.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, Miles. In addition to Gold Mask, Warrior Mask, Bronze Mask, Jade Mask, and Poison Gas Mask, there's Iron Ring Mask, and Crescent Moon Mask, and Poison Fang Mask, and Witch Mask, and Wing Mask, and Boat Ear Mask, and Silver Heat Mask.
All the bad guys go by something mask for the most part.
Door Mask, Large Hatchet Mask, Bird Fang Mask.
What's interesting about this, and I think might throw people who have never watched any Super Sentai off, is you expect this to be kind of a, okay, it's where Power Rangers came from. It's got to be the teenagers with attitude. And these, you know, outside of Kenji, they're not really teenagers.
Well,
you know, they're certainly younger, but they're not teens.
You say that. They are, by all accounts, quote unquote, youths. They are referred to as youths.
Yeah, I take that as encompassing the college-aged person.
Sure, maybe. They even in the opening credits, the subtitles read with pink rosy cheeks that they have on these soldiers fighting wrong.
Yeah, so everyone except for Kenji, I feel like, is at least 22.
I don't know how old the characters are, but I do know that several of the actors are much older. I believe the actor portraying the Yellow Ranger, which we should also say, Aka Ranger, Aoi Ranger, Ki Ranger, Momo Ranger, and Mito Ranger, which are just red, blue, yellow, peach / pink, and green. They don't have like a, you know, they don't have a coin or an animal icon or
right. You know. I mean, this is so far at the beginning. Like, there's nothing. It's just you are the colors, and that's it.
But anyway, I was saying about the Yellow Ranger. The only Sentai hero actor born before the end of World War II, during World War II.
Yeah.
We're that close to World War II at this point.
I think one of my favorite things as the series starts out is their kind of headquarters is just a little curry shop.
It's a curry shop that then you walk through and then you go through like the machinery room, and then you take an elevator down, and then you have to put your icon onto the wall. And
everyone then has to.
And then it opens a very small room that has a computer in it.
I mean, again, they had no money. I love that at first they're like trying to kind of put on airs that the guy who runs the shop isn't in charge.
I'm glad they didn't I'm glad they didn't let that run too long. We find out very quickly that's
the case. We do. It's what, episode 3, I think.
I think he's he slips up in episode 2, and the Yellow Ranger,
because he calls Dada Key, and he's like, "What?
How would you call me?"
He's
like,
"What are you talking about? I called you your name. You called me Key." It's a great exchange, and you know, but even the character, I think they just call him Master, but he kind of winks at the camera.
Yeah, it's really fun.
I love this whole setup because he also has these kind of like secret agent girls running around doing things for him.
His bodyguards and
Yeah, 007, 08, and 009.
Which, obvious James Bond references, which is funny.
Yes. It's so fun watching this because, you know, we get these kind of, each episode, we're getting kind of the main masks that we were introduced to, and each one has this different, what they call conspiracies to essentially wipe humanity off the face of the earth. And they're kind of gnarly. This isn't like I'm gonna make everyone like, you know, hate the blues or something weird that Rita would do in a random episode of Power Rangers. Which, like, this is like more like Kamen Rider, where it's like, oh, I'm gonna turn people into sand, they're dead.
Well, and again, we should say body count in this show super high.
Super high. Like, it starts off like they're not just using like blasts and stuff, they're using machine guns. Like, this is visceral death.
People are getting
this show.
People are getting shot with machine guns, they're getting shot with arrows, they're getting stabbed,
they're getting gassed,
they're getting poison gassed.
Like, yeah, I mean, I understand that it was also like kind of, you know, this is what you would expect for some of this stuff at the time, but at the same time, you're like, wow, this is a different origin than what you would expect. And because even in stuff that I watched, like, you know, Gatchaman, it's not too extreme in its violence. It has moments, but it's certainly not this.
Well, and we should also say, when people are getting shot with machine guns, it's not like they even have, you know,
blood packets.
The blood. Well, there is one time that one guy gets shot in the shoulder and you see a red mark on his shoulder that is not nearly as much blood as you would get if you got shot in the shoulder. But
one of the things I enjoyed about each of these little conspiracies is they're somehow, like, each one's kind of matched up with the character who had their group destroyed by that mask.
Yeah.
Most of them are handling it pretty even keel, except for the Green Ranger, who is he's the youngest one, so he is on the warp.
Only 17.
And this is the episode where he dresses up like Spike Spiegel, which is great. I enjoyed all these little schemes because they were all just so gnarly, like using a fungus to like have ourselves rot from the inside out is not a plot that I expected.
I mean, the very first one is the sand ray.
Sand ray.
Which just, it's a beam that turns you into sand.
And it honestly looks exactly like how the people die in Kamen Rider, the first Kamen Rider.
A little bit. So you got that. You've got the poison gas that they are going to put into a hot air balloon. No, that's the mold that's in the hot air balloon. I'm sorry. It's the mold
that's in the hot air balloon. They had a poison gas factory.
We're building a factory. There's so many very interesting lines that just like, okay, you're building a factory, whatever.
I don't know the source of the subs that we watched. I mean, again, this hasn't been, I think, officially licensed here. So,
yeah,
you know,
that's fair. That's fair.
I should probably read the manga.
But
I enjoy that these were kind of high stakes. The Rangers themselves, they can fight their stunt doubles, or them are not the best of fighters. So it's certainly a fun action for a Saturday afternoon. 100%. If I was a kid, I'd be eating it up. But it's not going to wow you like the stunts they get later in the franchise. And then each one, and this is something that they carry on the day. They typically have a special attack that they combine to do to take down the bad guys.
Miles,
and here,
this is my very favorite thing. This is
You want to lead?
So we see two iterations of this. It is called
the Storm.
it's called the Go Ranger Storm, where they all each say something in a line, and then the Pink Ranger, sometimes it's a volleyball and sometimes it's a soccer ball, but in either case, it is spray painted silver.
Yes.
She then kicks it or throws it. One of those two things happens.
Mm-hmm.
It gets shot towards the Yellow Ranger, who then headbutts it to the Green Ranger. Is he next?
Yes.
Who then bounces it to the Blue Ranger, who then kicks it up to Akka, the Red Ranger, and then he either throws or kicks this silver soccer or volleyball at the bad guy. It sometimes hits them, it sometimes doesn't, and then there's just an explosion.
My favorite, this is supposed to be like their power move. My favorite is when it like clearly like the guy on the set was like just freaking belt the guy, and you can see that ball just like smack this person in the mask's like head so hard, and then it cuts to an explosion. I love it so much because I don't know how often, like, I think it was a look alive situation. I don't think they were really expecting that the way they were, the way those guys kind of like whiplash sometimes. I think they were like, you know, certainly hitting them when they weren't expecting it.
This of the things in this show, I have to like there are so many just interesting choices. Because in the first episode, when we are introduced to the Blue Ranger and he's using his archery, he's doing it on a range, and there are these three or four targets that are just black, you know, flat humanoid targets, and they flash to him as he pulls out his bow and arrow, and they flash back, and now these are just dudes dressed in all black, like black. Just full body suits, and they just fall forward flat one by one, and then he goes to investigate how well he's shot his targets, and they're back to being the cardboard flats. They couldn't afford somebody to just pull those things over off camera. They're just guys falling over. It is so charming. So charming.
Yeah, and that I think is the key word here. This show is extremely charming because not only is it the first Sentai, so you kind of you're expecting, you know, humble beginnings, but there are so many choices here that are equally baffling and just delightful. Like, I do wish. I mean, this is a thing about anything at this time, especially in comics and stuff. I would have liked a couple, like, and maybe it happens further in the show. A few more episodes kind of focusing more on the Rangers.
Which, again, they probably did. We got kind of two episodes on the yellow. We got one episode on green or peach. Momo.
Pink. Yeah, because she does her little like reporter thing.
Which I want to talk about that, too. And we have one episode on green. I'm assuming that we are going to get plenty of episodes starring the cowboy headed Spanish guitar playing Blue Ranger.
Yeah, no, I definitely want more of all of them. I still don't think we get like super in depth into any of these characters.
Oh, for
but
sure.
But I mean, again, we only watched the first five, but I did want more because I thought these characters were very fun. I thought their actors were extremely delightful. Everything was just enjoyable. I think that's what's so great about this particular show is like, there's not a single aspect of it where I'm like, you know, oh, this doesn't work for me. And I mean, I'm already in, you know, as a Toku fan, as a Power Rangers fan, you know, as a fan of just kind of Japanese genre stuff, this is already in my wheelhouse. But at the same time, like, there is something just so genuine about a show that just does the damn thing, for lack of a better phrase. Like, you see a lot of shows that seem to be embarrassed by what they are, even early on. And I think that's what makes some of these toku shows so great, is that they're not. And they are actively trying to do something above their station. And I think that's why you see Sentai has stood the test of time. Ultraman's to the test of time, Comrades to the test of time, and a lot of these other shows that, you know, don't, I think that might be part of it, is there seems to be like just a full on, we're going whole hog into this concept.
And you know, something that was interesting to me, kind of going alongside that, is I expected more stereotypical characters. And we got some of that, especially with the Yellow Ranger, who is eating gigantic bowls of curry all the time. He is probably the most stereotypical. Green, being the young one, is pretty stereotypical.
But
Red Ranger as the leader and just kind of always like, again, these are also characters that rarely make mistakes because they're, you know, supposed to be superheroes and all of that. The Red Ranger is kind of a non-entity for a lot of this. He's just like, go do that. Good job. And then he kicks the soccer ball.
Yeah, it's very boss man. Very, I mean, again, we just didn't get a whole lot of him. But even from the very first Ranger shot where you're kind of introduced for the Rangers post the destruction of Eagle, is you see each individual Ranger kind of training by themselves and the Red Ranger driving by going like, you know, good job, Red, or Yellow. Good job, Momo. Good job. Like just riding around, giving a thumbs up, like as if like he's coaching them.
But again, I expected, honestly, more stereotypes around Momo slash Peggy, because it's 1975 and she's the only female member of this team. Boy, was I surprised in her episode where there was not
great.
There was not a single element of "you wouldn't understand because you're a woman." There's none of that in that episode.
No, there's that one line of like, "Oh, you must really like thriller novels." You know?
Which is like, who doesn't love thriller novels, dude?
Right, exactly. But I agree. I liked her whole arc, and it feels like a lot of these the anime from the time, like you're always gonna have that one episode where like someone's investigating something like this and they pretend to be a student or a reporter and they get themselves in over their head. But Peggy saves herself. Like she, like at one point, I think Yellow and Blue are looking for her, and those two morons get told, "Oh yeah, she's not here. She left 2 hours ago," and they just go on their merry way.
those dummies. Though I do have a problem
and
then, with that.
And Peggy just like rescues herself.
I do. What the only problem I have with that is that they're captured, and her communicator is broken, which we see that.
Yeah,
but we have no identifiable way that they transform, and she doesn't transform while she's captured. It's not until they figure out that she's actually still there, and they come back and rescue her, that she walks off screen and then comes back in her costume. Why didn't she transform?
I don't know. To be perfectly honest, like that part was weird, but I love that she's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna blow open this this locked door here." Everyone stand back.
I did just happen to notice that Lisa Komaki, who is the actress for Peggy slash
Momo.
She is literally one day older than my mom.
Oh wow.
I don't know. It's just a weird thing. I don't know why I focused on that, but it's interesting.
Yeah, I know she doesn't pop up too much in the franchise in terms of the Lisa. I think she appears in Jack Q and Battle Fever J.
Well, I want to talk about sort of the legacy of some of these characters, because some of these characters have a huge legacy in Super Sentai. Before we do that, though, how did you feel about
Peggy does, but like I was talking about Lisa specifically.
Oh, yeah. How did you feel about the Zolders? The bad guys, the grunts on the ground.
I mean, it was what I expected them to look like. Especially for something you need a lot of and you don't have any money, you're just going to put, you know, some black mesh on them and, you know, they're fine. They're not super memorable, but like they're exactly what they need to be.
I liked them more than the Shocker agents in Kamen Rider. I thought they looked kind of neat.
To a degree. They're also, some Zolder agents look much better than others.
Yeah, some you can see right through the pantyhose on their head, and some you can't, which is...
Yeah, and some look like they have like an actual like costume on, and some look like... And the ones they put up close for some reason are the ones with the cardboard. And you're just like, well, why did you do that, guys? Like, give the person who's going to be on camera the good uniform.
I enjoyed this show more than I expected to for 1975. It's certainly campy. It's certainly very silly. And I will never get over the soccer ball mega weapon. It's so funny.
It sucks that I feel like I don't have a lot to say, because the show is so like, it's basic in a lot of ways. Like, there's not a lot to talk about. We only watched 5 episodes of this show too, but there isn't a whole lot to discuss because it is the first one, and therefore there's a lot of I don't want to say a plain Jane aspect to it, because that's not it, but it's very much just you get what you see.
Yeah.
It's not as crazy as you might expect it to be, or as crazy as the franchise gets further in the decade and further in the franchise, for sure. But I thought it was a very, very charming beginning to what has become a global phenomenon.
Definitely. And it's certainly a beginning for a lot of these performers, because some of them appear throughout multiple things. Now, the actor who plays Akka Red, or Akka Ranger, the Red Ranger, he didn't do a ton else. He appears multiple times over the years as his character in different anniversary shows and things like that. Naoya Makoto. But you've got, of course, we talked about Lisa Komaki, who was Peggy in this. She was the voice of one of the main characters in Battle Fever J, but only when that character was in the suit, not when they were out of the suit, which was interesting. You have Yukio Itoo, who was the Green Ranger, Kenji, in this, the Mito Ranger. He was also in the early parts of Battle Fever J as a character who I believe dies very early on. Then you have Hiroshi Miauchi, who, man, this guy is in so much stuff.
He's in a bunch of stuff.
He appears as his original Aoi Ranger, his Blue Ranger, in a number of places, but he was also Kamen Rider V3. He was the main Kamen Rider in that. He was Big One in Battle Fever J, and he was a character called Zubat, not the Pokemon, but a character called Zubat, which I believe he considers that his favorite of his tokusatsu roles.
Which one was his favorite, did you say?
Zubat.
Oh, yeah.
Just also, this dude always wears a cowboy hat. Every one of his characters has a cowboy hat in it, and it's always a different cowboy hat.
And, I mean, he's one who's, like, kind of always loved doing toku work. There was a great interview with the Tokusatsu Network where he talks about, like, where he believes that the secret to Super Sentai's longevity as a franchise is its messages about, you know, justice, teamwork, and people coming together to stand up and fight for what is right. And that while he is somewhat aware of Power Rangers, he said that the continued existence of that is an extension of the message. And I think part of that was or part of that interview also had a great bit about how when he first came to Hawaii and heard the native Hawaiians sing the opening theme to Kamen Rider V3 in a stage show, he was moved to tears. And like, apparently just like is very, very gracious that he has the types of fans that Tokusatsu fans are. Like the idea of people that loving him as a hero is something that really resonates with him. And he's one who has kind of just like stayed in that realm, and it's very, very cool.
Yeah.
Love him.
I don't really want to talk about this, but I feel like we have to, because we've talked about all the other main Go Ranger actors. Baku Hatakeyama, excuse me. I'm sorry. I do not speak Japanese, so I have to take it slow on these. He was the Yellow Ranger, and though he had great success with this role and was very lauded and loved in this role, and was very friendly with several members of the cast, including the aforementioned Blue Ranger, I believe, who they used to have dinner together because they lived in the same neighborhood, so they would go and have dinner after they finished recording and filming. But post his Go Ranger career, he had trouble getting roles. He was having money problems. He was obviously having some other things go on, and he took his own life in 1978.
Yeah.
Which is something that, again, this is, you know, sometimes when you are super well known for being in a superhero costumed TV show, it can become your entire life, whether you want it to or not.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly have had that here with, you know, George Reeves. If it was a suicide, that's a whole other conversation.
I was talking about one more specifically in the Power Rangers fandom, but.
Well, that's also a whole other
thing.
It's not the same thing. And yeah, let's not go there.
Yeah, I don't really want to. It's just something that, you know, I felt like we had to kind of talk about that just because it's part of the story.
No. I agree with that. Yeah.
So with that said,
so we're going to do something different than we did in the prior Toku kind of roundups that we did. We have, I guess because we have such a English tradition with a version of Sentai that so much of it has been in our lexicon for most of our lives, which I think makes it, you know, in some ways the more interesting show to cover. And we're gonna do something a little different. We've certainly had a lot of phenomenal suggestions and ideas. Again, join our Discord. We have some phenomenal members who are very well versed in Sentai, put me to shame in a heartbeat. But we're going to do things a little differently. We're going to work more thematically, I think, for a little bit than chronologically. And this next one will be somewhat chronological in that it comes after Go Ranger, but everything does. And we're going to kind of highlight the shows that were kind of the stepping stones to the Power Rangers, the road to the Power Rangers. There are shows that are ones that were considered, you know, high quality by the fans that were even known in the States at the time, one of which was almost made into an American show. So, Drew, what are we covering next week?
So we're going to be covering three different series. And again, there are 48 different Super Sentai shows. 48. And that's not counting the side projects like Akiba Ranger and all the other, you know, side things. We don't have a lot of time to focus on. We want to focus on a lot of it, but that means we have to cut down our number of episodes.
Yeah.
So
if we had a Patreon, this is what we'd be doing with our spare time.
Yeah. So we are going to be covering a couple episodes of the next three series. We're going to be covering, first off, a couple episodes of 1984's Super Electron Bioman. Jumping forward to 1988 with Super Beast Squadron Live Man. I'm assuming it's Live Man and not Live Man. I don't actually know. And then into 1991's Birdman Squadron Jetman. So that's Bioman, Live Man, and Jetman. Those are going to be the three that we cover next week as we embark on the road to the Rangers.
Yes, and I can already feel a question of like, oh, well, you talked about the road to the Power Rangers, why didn't you cover Sun Vulcan? Because Stan Lee almost adapted that. We only have so much time, and these seem to be the kind of the big favorites in the royal sense. And I know Sun Vulcan's very popular. I have a Sun Vulcan figure arts, but we may come back to it. Like, again, this grouping of things that we're doing in this, you know, 6 week period is not the last we're going to do Super Sentai or any Toku. We get a lot of We got a lot of suggestions for Toku stuff, so we will absolutely be back. We got 30 plus years to work with, so there are 40 years to 40, work with
40 plus years. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Miles, almost 50.
Almost. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's almost 50 years old. We're not quite there yet, but so we only have so much time, and we only have, you know, so many shows that we can pick. So these are the three that we're going to go to. Also, the three I've wanted to catch for the longest time. So there's also that, because one's somewhat inspired by Science and Jikin Gatchaman, and that's one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah. So with that said, gang, once again, Bioman, Liveman, and Jetman. Luckily, as we get closer to the Power Rangers, some of these shows become much easier to find. Jetman in particular is actually on Shout Factory. It's on Shout TV. So you can.
And Tubi.
Well, it's on Tubi through Shout TV. But so that one you can actually watch fairly easily. The other two, you might have to do some digging. And luckily, we've already done some of that digging for you. So if you would like to find out where we are watching these shows, go to our sister show, Cosmic Crit, which is our Starfinder RPG by Paizo show. Go to CosmicCrit.com and join the Cosmic Crit Discord. In that Cosmic Crit Discord, there is a link to join that Discord. And there's the More You Nerd section, where you can literally talk to me and Miles all day while we're bored at work. It's a really fun time. Mm-hmm. We're doing a lot of talking about Super Sentai right now. Because there is so much of it. Of course, beyond that, you can find us at themoreunerd.com, which has this and every other episode of our show going back 13 years, 14 years, 27 years, 42 years. Don't remember at this point. You can find us at facebook.com/themoreunerd. You can tweet to us at themoreunerd. And of course, you can email us themoreunerd@gmail.com. That's themoreunerd@gmail.com. And now we end the show, as we always do, with a rousing nerd out.
Two nerd for y'all.